Hallelujah. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, yesterday we started to talk about the doctrine about Holy Spirit. We mentioned about what is Holy Spirit. We mentioned about why we would need the Holy Spirit. Now, once again, the test is coming, right? So you may wonder what will be in the test. So all these questions, you're expected to provide answer. For example, what, why we need Holy Spirit. Got a few points. Holy Spirit, give us eternal life. All those points, you have to be able to provide answer. It's not just for memorizing sake, but when you in the future talk to friend or truth seeker, what is Holy Spirit? You'll be able to answer and preach to them about Holy Spirit. And then you'll be expect to answer and correct one or two of those wrong concepts about Holy Spirit by other denominations. So, yesterday we talked about a few, wrong concept one, wrong concept two. After you baptize, you will automatically have Holy Spirit. So all of those questions, you'll be able to understand and memorize the argument, provide a biblical support, and to write it or say it in a very logical way, to persuade, to let other friends know that what are we standing and why we are believing what we believe in. Okay, wrong concept number three. Today we'll continue. Many denominations, friends, Christian mainstream idea, think that if you have good deeds, you already will have Holy Spirit. They may quote the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians 5:22. Samuel Zhao, can you read for us? Samuel Zhao. What, Samuel Zhao? Okay, now the argument is this. They think, see, the fruit of the Holy Spirit are these, including love, joy, peace. Look at us. We have so much love. Look at us. We are. After I believe in Jesus, I'm so joyful. I'm so happy. And how can you say I don't have the Holy Spirit? If I don't have the Holy Spirit, how can I have so much love and peace for God and joy and peace? I've changed. Holy Spirit, help me. Quit smoking, quit drugs, quit drinking. Holy Spirit must be in me already. So that's the argument, saying that we have the fruit, that's why we have the Holy Spirit. But how do we answer them? Of course, when we talk to the people like this, our friend, our Christian friend, don't try to deny that they have good deeds. We can say, well, thank God, really. I really thank God for you that you have quit smoking. God has helped you to live a good life, to live a new life. So try to not denying this. They have a new life and they even bear some fruit. But from the Bible, we cannot logically everything use logical thinking to deduct. For example, here is okay, now, when we have Holy Spirit, of course, Holy Spirit will help us to bear a lot of fruit. In Galatians 5:22, this is what the Bible tells us, all right? But we cannot use logical thinking, saying that whoever have any good deeds with this kind of similar to this fruit or mentioned here automatically means that he already has Holy Spirit. You cannot use this logical thinking to push it back. Right, because the Bible simply didn't say so. Why? Because we have some example too. We can tell them, okay, look at one example in the book of Acts, chapter 10. There was a person called Cornelius, which is very famous. He was the very first Gentile that Peter preached to. Peter was very reluctant to go there. But because God told him in a vision that whatever God has cleansed, you cannot treat as unclean. In the vision, God told Peter, eat this unclean food. Wow, three times in a vision, God told him to eat it. But at the same time, actually it's God's plan for Peter to go to preach in this Gentile household. Now, before Cornelius knew Jesus already, what kind of person he was? Acts chapter 10, verse 2, you have to underline this in the Bible, able to memorize it. Where is it? To quote an example. So verse 2 tells us, he and his family was already very devout, very God-fearing, and also a lot of love, giving generously. And also he was a very prayerful person. Now, he was very good already. If you use Galatians 5:22, it seems that he already bear a lot of fruit of the Holy Spirit. At least he has love. He gives generously. He feared God, even though he didn't know Jesus yet. He didn't have Holy Spirit, but he had all this good character. So we can see that it doesn't mean everyone who have good deeds are from the Holy Spirit. Even some Buddhists, they are very loving. Even some Muslims, their characters are very good. You know, some people, their character are better than others. Even without knowing Jesus, they already demonstrate some exceedingly better character than average people. But we cannot say, oh, look at him. He's so loving. He's so kind. He's so peaceful. He's so joy. Oh, he must have Holy Spirit. You can't say that. Even some Buddhist people, they can tell you, I'm very peaceful when I meditation. You cannot say, oh, he has the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So you can't push it back and say, oh, whoever has some good deeds must have Holy Spirit. So we're just simply using example from the Bible to give him an idea, opening up their mind, saying that, okay, that may not correct, may not be automatically correct. So do a summary here. Cornelius was devout, God-fearing, love, give generously. He did not have Holy Spirit until Peter went there and prayed for him. And then he received the Holy Spirit. So this example, you can put a mark. You can put a big star in chapter 10. If you are you, I were you, I will always mark my Bible everywhere in the margin, chapter 10. I will put like, oh, good deeds not equal to the Holy Spirit. And next time when you read the Bible, oh, you know, oh, this is where I'm looking into, if someone tell me. Wrong concept, number 4. They thought that you are very zealous, you must have the Holy Spirit. Once again, it's similar to wrong concept, number 3, but usually posed by another Christian friend. If you tell them you don't have Holy Spirit, you really offend them in a way. That I've been so zealous. I've been believing in Lord Jesus Christ all my life or for so many years. I've been so zealous. I go everywhere to preach. I even offer up my money, my time to serve God. And are you telling me that I don't have the Holy Spirit? If I don't have the Holy Spirit, how can I do so much for God, for Lord Jesus Christ? Because it is really difficult for them to accept that they don't have the Holy Spirit. Of course, we have to do it slowly. And at the same time, once again, I emphasize, you have to respect the friend that we are talking to. Don't be judgmental. Don't be proud. Say that, oh, you don't have Holy Spirit, you're nothing. You guys, useless. Can't say that. Once again, you respect them. You talk to them like, oh, really? Thank God. That I really thank God. You've been very zealous. I believe that God is watching and also be very happy, right? You love him. You do all the work. There's no problem with that, we all admit. Now, and then you can say, let's look into the Bible. Does it mean somebody who is very zealous, does it mean automatically, or he must already have the Holy Spirit? You can tell him, if we find some link, some example in the Bible, of course we can take it. But I find some example which is different. You can tell them the example of the 12 apostles. In Matthew 19:27, let's turn to Matthew 19:27. Matthew 19:27. Chuang Liu. Chuang Liu. Who is Chuang Liu? Yes, please. Yes, please read 19:27. Okay, thank you. Underline this verse. We have left everything to follow you. What will it be there for us? It's a good question. Everybody should ask, now I follow Jesus. First, you ask, what have you left behind? When we follow Lord Jesus Christ, it involves two things. First, the things you have left behind. Second things, the things you will receive. This is the two portions. It's always there when we follow Lord Jesus Christ. It's impossible that you left nothing. You have to leave something before you follow Lord Jesus Christ. Even, for example, these 2 weeks we are in NYTS. What have you left at home? What have you left behind in these 2 weeks? Your freedom, your computer. Well, you still have computer, but no internet, right? Except for preachers. Your friend, your enjoyment, you kept with partying, shopping, tourism, anything. But because you want to grow in spiritual life, that's why you left behind and also comfortable life too, right? Many of you sleep very well at home. Who has your own room? Raise your hand at home. Who has your own room? Wow. I think everybody nowadays, very few people will tell you that, oh, I share the room with my brothers. Most of you have your own room. I remember when I was in Hong Kong, I don't have a room. I sleep in a living room. Every night I have to pull the bed from the sofa, sleep there. So you live in a very comfortable environment. But thank God, because you want to grow spiritually, you put aside all those things and come here to sleep in a chapel, to sleep on the ground, fight for a toilet. Right? 10 minute shower. Before you finish, somebody asks, are you inside? Are you done? Come on, who took my spot? There was one time, last month in Toronto, I was having shower. A brother shouted at me inside, who is inside? Who took my spot? I said, I'm preacher. Oh, sorry. take your time, preacher. Sure, I will. So I know what you're going through, right? So you left your comfortable life at home and come here. Why? Because you want to follow Jesus. You want to learn, you want to grow. And the same in the future, if you want to continue to grow in this faith, you will have to leave a lot of things behind. If you don't leave a lot of things behind, you cannot move on. So Peter, he said, I left everything behind, what I'm getting. So you ask your question first, what have you left behind? If you don't want to leave anything behind, you will not get anything more and new. If you always think, oh, next year I don't want to come because I don't want to suffer. I don't want to no freedom. I don't want to fighting for toilet, everything. So Peter said, I left everything behind. What am I getting? Of course, Jesus promised him, you have 100-fold in this life and also you have salvation. But when Peter said this, he left everything behind. He's so zealous to follow Lord Jesus Christ. Did he have Holy Spirit? Obviously not. Not until the day of Pentecost that he received the Holy Spirit. But even before the Holy Spirit indwelling to be with him, the promised Holy Spirit. But of course, God's Spirit can touch Peter, move him to follow Lord Jesus Christ. So today you can tell your Christian friend the same thing. You say, thank God you work so hard for Jesus, you preach, you offer so much. Thank God. God really touched your heart, right? Somehow, Holy Spirit touched you. But you haven't received the promised Holy Spirit yet. God have touched you, yeah? I don't disagree with that. But you have to receive the promised Holy Spirit, like the day of Pentecost. Like the day of Pentecost. You emphasize this. Everything we do must be the same as the apostolic time. If you say you receive the Holy Spirit, is your experience the same as the day of Pentecost? If not, you have to continue to pursue it, to continue. Huh? Of course, the day of Pentecost, the experience in chapter 2. So we have to, when we have time, we are going to study more. Wrong concept number 5, which is the toughest one to explain. And you have to put a big star on this one. And certainly, it will be in your test, this one. Certainly. Huh? Now, if you talk to a Christian friend, if they know the Bible, if they have gone through some kind of Bible training, and they know about the Holy Spirit, this is their most common understanding of the Holy Spirit. They don't disagree with you about speaking in tongue is very good, is receiving the Holy Spirit. But they thought that speaking in tongue is only one of the spiritual gifts. Not everyone will have it. So this is the most common mainstream Christian churches. And nowadays, more and more churches are praying for the Holy Spirit. And they admit Holy Spirit is very good, very important, everybody should have it. But they say, you, TJC, speaking in tongues is fine for us. We don't say anything bad for you guys. Now, in the old past, other churches really disagree, really think that our church is having problem, that we are praying in a very weird way, speaking in tongues they can't accept. But nowadays, times are different. People are praying for the Holy Spirit, and they know that speaking in tongues is from the Bible. But they will say, yeah, your church have this gift. It's fine, right? Our church have another kind of gift. So not everybody should speak in tongues, right? Because Holy Spirit is so much different gift. Some will do this, some will do that. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. Alicia Young. Alicia. Okay, so in chapter 12, verse 28, and then continue, please read 29. Too. It's not there, so you have to read your Bible. Okay, chapter 12, verse 29. There are 30. Okay, now see, they quote this. Do all speak in tongue? Do all speak in tongue? No, not everybody speak in tongue. So, your church speak in tongue, we are fine. You speak in tongue, that's very good. But not everybody speak in tongue. Right? For me, I receive the Holy Spirit, but I don't speak in tongue. I do another things. I preach, I healings, I ministration. So, no need everybody speaking in tongue. This is their argument. Now, if you just follow them and look at a verse like this, it's really difficult to answer, right? Oh, it seems true, right? Paul said, oh, do all speak in tongue? But of course, we should understand that they have misunderstand. They have not complete understanding about the Bible and about the speaking in tongue. And that's why they'll jump to the conclusion. Now, the way to explain to them, now we tell them straight, that of course, Holy Spirit give us different gifts. But you tell them, there are two kinds of speaking in tongue in the Bible, actually. Don't confuse them. It's very important. There are two kinds of speaking in tongues in the Bible. Because most churches, the way they had that thinking is they only thought there's only one kind of speaking in tongue. But actually, in the Bible, there are two kinds. Now you have to be very familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14 to be able to explain that what are these two kinds of speaking in tongue. So open your chapter 12 and chapter 14. Be able to try to underline something. Mark in your Bible. The first kind of speaking in tongue, we call it, let's say, praying tongue. Or tongue, speaking in tongue in prayer. Now look at chapter 14, verse 2. Chapter 14, verse 2. Kwok Lee, can you read for us? Kwok. He's not here right now. Oh, you're here, okay. Kwok, huh? Who said he's not here? Okay, continue, sorry. Okay, underline this verse. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man but to God. Okay, underline speaking in tongue, underline to God. Now this is the key, right? Paul started to talk about speaking in tongue, but he didn't really separate into two kinds. That's why some people really confused. But when Paul says speaking in tongue, he's not speaking to other people, but to God. So when do you speak to God, brother and sister? When? When do you speak to God? In prayer. So he was also Mark chapter 14, verse 2 here. This kind of speaking in tongue is talking about speaking in tongue in prayer. Now, why do we have to speak in tongue in prayer? When a person receives Holy Spirit, why we speak in tongue in prayer? If you read on, it says, indeed, no one understand him. He utter mystery with his spirit. Verse 4. Jump to verse 4. He who speak in a tongue edifies himself. Underline verse 4. Speak in tongue in prayer. Edify himself. So why do we speak in tongue in prayer? We are speaking something which is mystery. Underline mystery. That means nobody understand when you speak in tongue to God in prayer. But the purpose is very important. The purpose is edify yourself. Verse 4, underline edify himself. Now, speaking in tongue, you can't really explain why. But we all feel it. We all experience. Just like why after you have a good prayer, half an hour prayer, deep prayer, like here, every time. For those who have received Holy Spirit, when you pray, when you are so deep in the prayer, after you get up, wow, you feel so refreshed. You feel so good. When you're fasting and prayer, even though your body is weak, but if you have a good prayer, even your half an hour, your tongue has been moving and you don't know what it's talking about. But when you have a good prayer, deep prayer, after you get up, wow, you feel so good. Have any one of you have this experience? Raise your hand. After you feel prayer, you feel so good, so happy, so joyful. Raise your hand up if you have this experience. Yeah. So it's really an experience that people have not received. Holy Spirit cannot understand, right? I remember there was a time, sometimes when I was very sad, sometimes I was very, very, a lot of difficulties in my life, doing holy work, have some setback. But I pray, and I was speaking in tongue. I tell everything to God. Of course, in my mind, I was telling things to God, but my tongue is rolling. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and after I stand up, I feel my burden is gone. The Lord will take care about me. So this speaking in tongue is for edification. If a person receives Holy Spirit but didn't pray at home, didn't use the tongue to pray, his faith will go down and will not be edified. So this praying of tongue is the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. Underline this. This kind of tongue is evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, in English word, where the Bible talk about gift, there's only one word in English, but originally it was from Greek. Two words, two different words were translated into gift. That's why in English Bible it's very confused when you see the gift of the Holy Spirit. Gift of the Holy Spirit is da-da-da-da-da, this, right? But in Greek, it is so different. They use two different words to describe these two different speaking of tongue. Now, the word gift in Greek, first, it was translated as doria. For those who have English software, Bible Greek software, or strong concordance, you can find it out. So whenever Bible says gift of the Holy Spirit, it can refer, when it's doria, it will refer to Holy Spirit himself. Now let's look at a few verses and then you'll understand. Let's turn to John chapter 4, verse 10. John chapter 4, verse 10. John 4, 10. Joseph Kim, can you read? How about Joseph Kim? Yes. John 4:10.
Thank you, Joseph. Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks for drink, you ask and he'll give you living water. When Jesus talked about this gift, he's talking about when you know. This is talking about Doria. It's referring Holy Spirit himself. So how do you know you receive this Doria? When you're speaking in tongue in prayer, you know. This is the evidence of receiving this Doria, this spiritual gift, Holy Spirit himself. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. You copy down all this verse and mark as I tell you. Acts 2:38. Rachel Chang, can you read for us? Rachel. Where's Rachel? Yes. Acts 2:38. Okay, Peter tell those people, now repent and be baptized, every one of you, if you want to believe in Jesus Christ. And then afterwards, you receive the gift, you receive Doria, you receive Holy Spirit himself, and everyone will receive it. All of you, right? Underline the words, all of you, for you and your children, all of you. So this gift is not talking about other things, but this is talking about Holy Spirit himself. Doria. So you can copy down all those verses. Chapter 8, verse 20, 10, 45, 11, 17. About Doria. Whenever Bible is talking about this gift in those places. Let's do a quick summary here now. God is so merciful. Jesus ascended to heaven. Jesus promised, after I go back to the Father, I'll give you a counselor to be with you forever. Who is this counselor? Of course, it's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will descend upon. And this Holy Spirit, just like a package, just like if you wrap it up in a box, imagine, right? How to draw the butterfly. Okay. I'm not a good drawer, but trying. Okay. This is the best gift that God can give to us. He just give him himself. He just give it yourself. But in the form of Holy Spirit. So, basically, God is promising us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The promise Holy Spirit. This is promise. It's a promise gift. And this gift is called Doria. In Greek. So what does it mean? This gift is for everyone. Everyone. Just like in the Western culture, right? In Christmas Day, the family give gifts to everyone in the family. Exchange. But imagine God, the best gift he gave it to us is he himself in Holy Spirit. Now, since it's for everyone, so everyone who believe, who pray, will receive this Doria, this Holy Spirit. And the evidence you receive it, how do you know you receive it? Is by speaking in tongue. Even young children, when you pray, will receive the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you, who were younger than 10 years old when you received Holy Spirit? Raise your hand. Younger than 10 years old. Wow, sister, praying more fervently, you see. Who are younger than 8 years old? Anyone? Younger than 6? Oh, this little girl there, how old were you when you received Holy Spirit? Sorry, I can't hear. Four. Third grade means 8 years old, right? Almost. When I was in Africa, there was one time, there was a little girl. Actually, we are having the spiritual convocation for primary school student. But that little girl, she was clearly underage, but the mother still bring her anyway. So when we pray, oh, the first spiritual convocation ever in Kenya, most young people did not have the Holy Spirit because nobody told them to really pray hard for it. But thank God, that time there was 99 students received the Holy Spirit. It's all glory be to God. It's not people, but it's God have mercy, because God knows this generation, they need the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, they cannot grow in the faith. And because it's the first spiritual convocation, and there's so many students receive Holy Spirit. And they because why? Because when they pray really hard. How do I know they pray hard? Because there's no air con. It's so hot. And the ground is mud or cemented. Very hard. There's no carpet. But everybody, they just kneel down. Wow, they would never complain. They just kneel. And after they pray, after they go back, I see everywhere is water. You see on the ground, you see a pile of water there. It's not that they pee there. But they sweat. They're praying so hard that the sweat drops to the ground. And so many people receive Holy Spirit. And the workers have to use the handkerchief or the tissue paper to do a little bit. And then, oh, how to identify with the Holy Spirit? Okay, put it in a sticker and the collar. And afterwards, tell whoever got a tissue paper at his back, come out. Just as a mark. Because that's too many. We don't even know their names. There's no name tag. And it's impossible to identify them. But just hearing, oh, speaking in tongue. Okay, give a tissue paper on the back. And then I remember there was one little girl. I think it's only four and a half years old. So young. When she's praying, hallelujah, hallelujah. Afterwards, wow, she's charged with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongue very fluently. It's impossible to imitate. She's really by God. So a young girl, 4 or 5 years old, can receive the Holy Spirit. And in our church, we also have old people receive the Holy Spirit. A sister believed in Christ for more than 40 years. She's 60 years old. When she received the Holy Spirit. Because for the past 40 years, she was not very serious. Until something happened, her faith really increased and she started to pray hard. So we know that this gift, this Doria, is for everybody. And everyone will have it. And everyone who has it will speak in tongue. And of course, John 4:10, you can write down all these verses talking about Doria. So that's why everybody will be speaking in tongue in prayer. This is the promise of God. Because God wants everyone to be edified. Because God knows we are so weak. Without Holy Spirit, we can't survive in this world spiritually. Okay, so chapter, yes? John 4:10, yes? Yes. 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 Yeah. Acts 4:10 is Doria, Holy Spirit himself. Because Jesus was talking about the living water too. Acts 2:38, the gift I underlined red here for you. Acts 8:20. We can talk about this 8:20. Acts chapter 8, verse 20. Okay, Ian, can you read for us? Acts chapter 8, verse 20. Okay, gift of God. What happened here? There was a guy called Simon who was a sorcerer before he believed in Christ. Actually, the reason he believed, the motive may not be very clear. But anyway, he got baptized. He followed Peter everywhere. And one day, he saw Peter, when he lay hand on people, people received the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongue. And he offered Peter, hey, come on, this money I give you. You give me this power so that when I lay hand on people, people receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter rebuked him, saying that you and your money perish. You think the gift, you think this Doria, you can buy? No way. You cannot buy this gift. You cannot buy Holy Spirit. If you have faith in God, repent and pray and receive the Holy Spirit, you can never buy this gift of God. So that's why also referring to Holy Spirit himself. Chapter 10, verse 45. When Peter were preaching in Cornelius' house. Let's read Acts 10:45. Acts 10:45. bright, Lynn? Bright? Who is bright? Yes, bright. Huh? Continue. Continue. Okay, now, underline these few verses, very important. Verse 45, this is the chapter where Peter was preaching in Cornelius' house, and while he was speaking, while he was still preaching the word of God, verse 45, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Once again, this word gift is doria. The doria were given to them, were poured out to them, everybody. Wow, even Gentiles can receive this gift. Even Gentiles can receive the Holy Spirit himself. But how do they know they receive the Holy Spirit? Underline verse 46. There's a keyword here, under circle. Circle the word for, F-O-R, for. How do they know that the Gentile received the same doria, same gift? Circle the big word for. They heard them, what? Speaking in tongue. So the way you know if you have received this doria, this gift, this Holy Spirit himself, is when you speak in tongue. And not just any way of speaking in tongue, but same when they speak in tongue, same as the day of Pentecost. Let's read verse 47 again. Ian, can you read loud? Just as we have, underline this, very important. When you receive Holy Spirit, you'll be the experience, the speaking in tongue will be the same. Will be the same. The speaking in tongue, the tongue of rolling will be the same. Because Peter, and they think, wow, they received Holy Spirit just like we did. Just a while ago in the day of Pentecost, we were charged with the Holy Spirit, we speak in tongue. And now they hear, wow, the same. The same. Wow. So they know, they must. We all receive doria. Even Gentile can receive doria, the Holy Spirit. So some people ask, oh, why are you guys speaking in tongues so similar, the same? Of course, because from the same Holy Spirit. Of course, not everybody exactly the same, right? When we pray, when you first receive the Holy Spirit, maybe 10 years later, when your spiritual level is deeper, sometimes the tongue is a little bit different. But it's still speaking in tongue. So, speaking in tongue, you can really tell. That's why you can ask the preacher, why they know? Why they hear? They know whether a person receives the Holy Spirit. You have to ask a preacher or a minister. Because they know, they hear so many brothers and sisters, and they got to give them the gift of discerning. They understand, oh, this is speaking in tongue. Oh. So, this is how Peter distinguished. You can copy it down. 11:17 also talk about this gift, this doria. He's explaining the same situation. So once again, do a recap. This doria is a promise Holy Spirit. It's promise. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. Everyone will have it because this is the promise Holy Spirit. And if you pray, if you ask, you will have it. But this gift is universal for everybody. Now, another kind of speaking in tongue, which other denomination friends will get confused, is the tongue in preaching, or we call it the preaching tongue. The one people use in sermon, in teaching. Now, look at this graph. As we said, after you believe in Christ, everybody will be given this gift. Now, after you have Holy Spirit will give you, other than just helping you quitting your old habit, understanding the truth, calling above Father, testify to Son, besides those very fundamental function, Holy Spirit will still give you something extra, we can say extra and bonus. Out of goodness, he will give you another gift, so many different styles. Now, this kind of gift, in the original text in Greek, is using another word. It's not doria. It's called charisma. Holy Spirit will be giving you so many gifts so that you can help the church to serve the church better. You can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 4 to 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 7. 4 to 7. Let's get a sister to read for us. Huh? Okay, Stephanie, can you read for us? Stephanie. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 7. Thank you. Now, the whole chapter 12, we're talking about spiritual gift. And verse 4, Paul was talking that there are different kinds of gifts. Now, this is a plural. That's been more than one. And in original text, it's called charisma. So Paul said there are many different kinds of charisma, many different kinds of spiritual gifts. God give it to them. God give the church members to help out the church. So you can circle the word gift here. Saying there is a charisma. It's a spiritual, we call it special spiritual gift. Once again, we call this kind of gift special spiritual gift. Now, there's a few more places also talking about charisma. Let's look at chapter 12, verse 28. Okay, chapter 12, verse 28. I don't read that, but in the verse, you see the gift, right? We just read. So all of this, chapter 12, 4 to 7, chapter verse 11. Okay, let's read chapter 14. Okay, now let's follow this. Chapter 12, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit we have just read. So this gift is doria. The next one, chapter 12, verse 9, also circle the gift here. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healing. So some people have spiritual gifts, they can heal people. This gift is also charisma, special spiritual gift. In verse 28, also circle the word gift of healing. Helps of government. Now, diversity of tongues. Now, here come of speaking in tongue. And then also here talk about interpretation of the tongues. Have all the gift of healing. Some people have the gift of healing. Some people have the gift of speaking in tongues. And some people have the gift of interpreting. So look at this graph again. After we receive the Holy Spirit, in order for the church to grow, Holy Spirit will give different people, different kind of gift, including some is healing. All right. What else in the verse you just read? What other gifts are there? Admin, some administration. What else? In chapter 12, verse 28-29. What other gifts are there? Chapter 12, verse 28-29. What other gifts are there? Yes, anyone? Teachers, yes. Some are good RE teachers. Or some can preach the word of God very clearly. Now, some are what? Speaking in tongues. And some are what? Interpreted. Interpreter of the tongue. Let me finish it, and then I'll allow you to ask questions. Okay, now, so what is this speaking of tongue? This speaking of tongue happened a lot in the early days in the church. Because at that time, the Bible, the New Testament was not even finished. In New Testament time, during Paul's time, there's no New Testament Bible. All they were holding is the Old Testament. But the apostles, they just preach according to what they know. So, and not many good speakers are there. Imagine 2,000 years ago in the church, you are not able to hear the teaching we are hearing today. Very systematic, very sophisticated spiritual teaching. They all hear the basics. All they know is, oh, Jesus love us, Jesus died for us, Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus resurrect, third day, go to heaven. Very simple. And then Paul continued to go everywhere to talk about this gospel, and then later was put in the letter. So in the early days, they were not very educated in the Word of God. But God knows their need. In the service, what will happen if people don't know the Bible or they don't even have a Bible on hand? What happened? God will move someone among the congregation. Holy Spirit will immediately fill them. And then they'll just stand up and they just cannot help themselves. Oh, just like speaking something when they are praying. Oh, speaking in tongue. Even he himself doesn't understand what's happening. But of course, God knows what's happening. God knows what's the tongue because God tells him to speak. So God will raise another person, give him this special spiritual gift to interpret what this person is talking about. For example, I heard a testimony last week. A brother from Korea testified in Korea the early days. Really, just like the apostolic church, nobody can teach the Bible. But always God raised someone to preach in spiritual tongue and raise another person just to interpret it. That's why preaching in tongue and interpreting in tongue is special gift. But the problem is other denominations, they misconfuse. They confuse this speaking in tongue and this one. They think, oh, not everybody should speak in tongue. They use this and they discredit Holy Spirit must speak in tongue. So there is where the confusion came in. But if you understand, okay, actually, speaking in tongue is two things. One thing is everyone should have. The other one is special occasion. If God allow you to interpret it, somebody speak it among the congregation, they will understand. And I heard another testimony in the early days. There was one time in the church, there was no peace, there was division, and the church was not developing. And in one occasion, suddenly there was a sister stood up, saying something loud in tongue. Nobody understand what she's talking about. And suddenly another person stood, trembling, very fearful. And then she tell, I want to interpret. I hear what she said. She said, God said, I am here. I am here. Wow, everybody is frightening. Because when people are fighting, arguing, they forget God is here watching. And now, wow, that sister translate. Oh, yeah, God is here. God is telling people, I am here. You guys, don't fight anymore. Don't argue. So this is very rare occasion nowadays that people preaching in tongue. Because we all have the Holy Spirit. We all have the Bible. We all have all the material. So that's why today you don't see very often preaching in tongue and interpretation. Yes, Sister Katie. Kathy. Laying of hand is always related in passing on spiritual gift. As Paul told Timothy, you receive the gift through the laying of hand of all the elders. So that's why all these spiritual gifts, of course, you can pray. God will give it to you. But in some special occasion, especially the minister, before a minister is or the day of the minister is ordained, usually we have some senior minister, elders, deacons, to lay hand for this new preacher in the name of Jesus Christ so that God will impart on the gifts given from that minister to the other minister. So it also could be passed by laying of hands. Yeah. But of course, he himself must also pursue a spiritual gift. Is that right? Laying of hand itself is not, we cannot say it's a gift, it's a duty of a minister. of helping people to pray, or when he's sick or when he's spiritually weak. Not everyone can do it. Lay member cannot do it. Even though, you cannot say, I received a gift from Jesus. I want to lay hand on you. We can say this, right? Unless you are ordained minister, then we can lay hand. It's not something that you pray for. But all these other gifts, maybe God can give every individual one. Any question? Are you following? It's a bit difficult. Of course, you don't have to tell this to all truth seekers who ask questions. But unless they ask, they say, this spiritual gift, not everybody has it. If you have a question, you can ask. You got 1 minute. Okay. Okay, so, yes. This is a good question. What do you think? Open Bible, huh? You guys don't wear name tag. I don't know you guys. So if you wear name tags, then I might consider open Bible. Okay, what should the counselor say? I don't know. I don't know the rules here. Okay, let me discuss with the counselor. But it's better for you. I know it's very difficult to request you to memorize all the numbers. And it actually is not much meaningful you memorize the numbers. I want you to be able to find this verse in your Bible. So circle it, write it down. It'd be even better, right? So I don't know. I have not made up my mind yet, but you can mark everything in your Bible just in case. When you talk to your friend, I hope you will be able to find those verses. I don't know that you pass 100% in my exam, but when you talk to a truth seeker, you open your mouth. I forgot everything. Okay. Yes. Of course, they can say this because the Holy Spirit has not descended. But you can also tell them Cornelius. Cornelius pray, also very fervent, every day pray. I have also good gift. What our quoted example is basically, even though when they were following Jesus, they didn't have the promised Holy Spirit, but they can still so fervent and zealous. That's the point that we want to emphasize. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow. We have another one session. So Holy Spirit, you cannot finish it even 10 session, 20 session, right? But Holy Spirit is not a knowledge only. It's not something theological. It's real. It's deep experience in our heart. Okay, let's all pray in silence. Amen.